Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Mark 16, Jesus giving the great commission to his church, to his disciples, to you and I. He said, go into all the world, in verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. We can say it this way. He who believes will be blessed. He will be blessed. You know, that word saved is the Greek word sozo, and it means to be delivered from every evil thing. It also means healing, healing. So he who believes and is baptized will be healed. He'll be delivered from every evil thing. Well, we know going to hell is an evil thing. Thank God we've been delivered from hell. I'm so glad I've been delivered from hell. But we've been delivered from every evil thing. All the works of hell. Experiencing days of hell on earth. Christ has redeemed us from it. Through faith in him, believing him, we are saved from it all. Somebody says, well, I don't quite believe in the healing. Well, then don't have it. He who believes will be healed. He who does not will stay sick, will be condemned. There's those that believe and there's those that don't. I don't get uptight about it either way. I know what I believe and I've seen the power of God work on my behalf. I just witnessed it right here just now. Power of God working, healing. Believe it, receive it. Argue with it, doubt it, go without it. It's pretty simple. Amen. I'll shout, you pout. All right? Now you just have it the way you want it, I'm going to have it the way I have it. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Do we have any believers in here? He said, these signs will follow you. In my name, they will cast out demons. Thank God we got authority in the name of Jesus over demons, over devils. You know, devils are at the root of all the problems in life. The devil himself is called the tempter. He's what causes people to fall into sin. He trips folks up. He speaks his lies into their minds. He's also the one behind sickness and disease. He's the one behind destruction. He is called in the Word of God the destroyer. God is not the destroyer. The devil is the destroyer. Jesus said, it's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So God the Father is all about life. And that more abundantly. Life overflowing. The devil's all about death. He's all about destruction. He's all about stealing and killing and destroying. That's what the devil's all about. So when you have authority over the devil in the name of Jesus, you got authority over all the problems of life. You got authority over all the problems of life. You can go right to the root or the source of all the problems of life and deal with it. Deal with your problems right at the root. And the root of it is the devil. He's behind all these things. And in the name of Jesus, you'll cast him out. You'll cast him out. Cast him out of your body. Cast him out of your house. Cast him out of your life. Thank God we have authority to cast out the devil. Praise God forever. And so we got to learn about this authority. We got to get good at using the authority that the Lord Jesus has delegated to us. He said, after he rose from the dead, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, in my name. In my name. See, in that name of Jesus, he's giving us that authority. That authority that he gained through his resurrection. All that authority in heaven and earth. Now, it belongs to us. Through his name. So we got to get good at using the name of Jesus, exercising our authority. Because we need it in this life, don't we? We need authority over the devil in this life. This is why Jesus came. It was to deliver us from the power of Satan. And not only for ourselves. How many people know there are a lot of people in darkness, a lot of people in bondage, a lot of people oppressed, a lot of people being harassed and overcome by demons. But you and I have the answer. You and I have the authority to do something about it. And so we've got to, number one, preach the gospel. We got to share the good news with folks so that they can get in agreement with us, so that they can get over into believing, so they can get over into faith and receive this great authority that we have. See, we got to share what we got. We got to take authority over the darkness. We got to bring in the light. We got to speak God's word, speak the name of Jesus, know our authority, and resist the devil. We need to do it. We need to learn how to do it. We need to be good at it. Just like Jesus was good at it. He was the master, wasn't he? He was excellent at ruling over demons. The devils couldn't touch him. They had no place in his life. And so Jesus was just able to just cast them out, just drive them out. Wherever they would manifest and rise up and try to confront him, Jesus was able to deal with these demons. And he says over in 1 John that we're to walk even like he walked. We're to walk in that same kind of authority. And then like we talked about last time, this authority that God's given us is not just for this life, but is for the life to come. You and I have been called to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. His kingdom will have no end. His rule, his dominion, his authority goes on forever. And so he has delegated authority, and he will be delegating authority throughout eternity. He is looking for folks to rule and reign with him throughout all eternity. Authority and dominion go on forever. We saw that over in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 6 where it says, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion. Everybody say dominion. Dominion. Now that word dominion means absolute rule and authority. Absolute rule and authority. To him be glory and dominion, rule, authority. For how long? Forever and ever. Amen. It's something that's forever and ever. God's government is forever and ever. We see that over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. And in verse 6. A lot of times folks just pull this out for Christmas. Put it on their Christmas cards. But it's more than just a Christmas verse. I said it's more than a Christmas verse. Man, it's a life-changing verse. Something to get a hold of. Something to understand that this is something you and I are to be a part of forever. God's grooming us to rule in his kingdom forever and ever. That's what he's doing with us right now. We want to cooperate with what he's doing in us. We got to learn about authority. Notice Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Increase of his government. His government, his rule, his authority is to continue to increase forever and ever. It has no end. His government is going to continuously expand. So he needs people to work in it. He needs people to work in his government. He's looking for some government officials. Do we have any government officials in the house? That's what he wants you to be. A government official in his kingdom. Verse 7 again, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It is something that is going to continue forever and ever and ever. So this isn't some little thing. This isn't a little subject. We need to get into this subject concerning the authority of God. But not just authority, we also have to look at submission. The subject of submission. Submission and authority, because the two of them work together. Before you could exercise authority effectively, you have to be a person that knows how to submit. You have to be a submitted person. You got to be submitted to authority. You need them both. And we see that over in James chapter 4. James 4 and in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. See, we're back to the devil again. We need to understand our enemy. We need to know who the troublemaker is, who's behind all our problems in life. The Bible locates him for us. It's the devil. A lot of people want to ignore that. A lot of people want to turn a blind eye to that. They don't want to believe that. They don't want to talk about the devil. But we need to understand the devil. And we need to know how to talk about him. We need to know how to deal with him. And here the Bible says, submit to God. And then when it comes to the devil, resist him. Resist him, and he will flee. He will flee. I believe it's the Amplified Bible says, he'll flee as in terror. It's time for the devil to be terrorized by the church rather than the church being terrorized by the devil. We hear all this talk about terrorists. Well, bless God, you and I are spiritual terrorists. We terrorize the kingdom of darkness. We terrorize demons. How do we do it? By submitting. Submitting to God. Submitting to God. Before you're able to take your place in Christ and exercise your authority over the devil so that he takes his place under your feet, you have to give God his place over you. You got to give God place over all. Over all of your life. Did you get that? I'm going to say that again. Before you're able to take your place in Christ and exercise your authority over the devil, for him to take his place under your feet, you have to give God his place over you. See, when we're submitted to God and God has his place over us, how many people know God is to be over us? He's not next to us. He's not under us. God's over us. He's above us. We submit ourselves to him. The word submit means to yield under. Give place. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture. I think it's over in the book of Peter where it says, give no place to the devil. How many people know the scripture I'm talking about? How many people know the scripture I'm talking about? Give no place to the devil. What does that mean? In other words, don't yield yourself under him. Don't come under his authority. Don't allow him to rule over you. He doesn't have to rule over you. Now, he's ruling over most people, but he doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be. The Bible says you can resist him. And not yield yourself under him, not come under his authority. But we are to yield ourselves under God. One nation under God. Right? That's what this nation was originally founded on. One nation under God. What do you mean? Submitted to God, submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, submitted to the Word of God. Because that's how we submit ourselves to God, is by submitting ourselves to his word. Coming under his word. In other words, his word rules supreme over us. His word dominates us, not our words. Our words don't dominate God. We have our words, but then we look and check and make sure that our words are submitted under his word. That's what Jesus meant over in John 15. He says, if you abide in me and my words, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Notice that first, we abide in him. His words abide in us. In other words, we're submitted to his word. When we're submitted to his word, then our words matter. Your words don't matter if they're not submitted. If first and foremost are not submitted to God. Your words do not matter to the devil. If God's words don't matter to you. So to the degree God's words matter to you, will be to the degree that what you say matters to the devil. To the degree you take God's word serious will be to the degree the devil, creation, will take your word seriously. Will be to the degree God takes your word seriously. If we're not submitted to God's word, the Bible says that even our prayers will be an abomination. Well, there's a lot of probably abomination prayers out there. People praying, asking. But there's no submission to his word. There's no respect. There's no honor. There's no coming under the word of God. His word first place. His word reigns supreme over our life. And then when we're in that place submitted to him, then bless God, we can resist the devil. We can tell him a thing or two. We can put him in his place under our feet. If we're in our place under God. So going back to our nation, one nation under God. That's talking about a nation that is submitted to God. And that's what America has to get back to, being submitted to God. And as we get more submitted to God, God will be able to do more for America. God will be able to intervene on our behalf, be able to do things in our nation. So that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. But if we're not submitted to him and people are just praying, a lot of times it's just words, empty, empty words. We want our words to have weight. So to submit to someone is to give them a place over you. Here we're talking about God, we're talking about the word, but it's not just limited to God and the word. Many times submission involves other people because God uses other people to get his will done in the earth, in his creation. And so we have to recognize the authorities that God has set up and submit ourselves under those authorities. Otherwise, we are in rebellion. And if we're in rebellion, then we are now submitted under Satan. And he's able to have access to our lives. So we want to cut him off, give him no place, and give God his place over us. We need to submit ourselves to those that God has placed in authority over us. And we need to take our place under them. So we see this over in Romans. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter. So submission to God is submitting to his word, his written word, and the Spirit of God who speaks to us. He'll speak to us things that you can't find in the Bible, but it doesn't disagree with the word. It agrees with the word. Whatever the Spirit of God says, it's always going to be in agreement with the written word of God. And so we've got to submit to him. If God is speaking to us, however that might be, Sometimes people have heard God in an audible voice speak to them. They've seen God in visions, some spectacular ways. God has met with them and spoken to them. But then sometimes he just speaks to us through that small still voice or into our thoughts. You know, the Bible says that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And many times you'll just get a thought, but you know it's not your thought, it's his thought. That's important what you do with that thought. When God puts his thought in your mind, when he speaks to you and gives you a higher thought, then you need to cooperate with that. If he speaks to you and leads you to go somewhere and do a certain thing, it's important that you follow him, that you submit to him. I don't want to get to heaven and find out God was saying things to me and I was just shoving it off. I was disregarding it. I wasn't esteeming what he was telling me. Or I just didn't want to do it. And so I just kind of hardened my heart to it and excused myself from it. Or just, you know, didn't act on it, didn't move. He spoke to me. I didn't do anything with it. And over time, I just forgot about it. We'll be held accountable for those things. When he speaks to us, we obey him. When he talks, we're listening and we respond to him. We submit to him. Even if it goes against what we might want or desire. Man, I was all set on going this way. But then God put it in my heart to do this. And I did it. I did it. My flesh didn't want to do it. But my spirit did. And I followed my heart. I obeyed my spirit. I submitted to God. We submit to God from our heart. Your flesh in and of itself is not going to submit to God. Your flesh in and of itself is selfish. It's not going to do what someone else wants it to do. It's going to do what it wants to do. And a lot of times people go through life, that's how they live. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. I don't care who tells me. Nobody's going to make me do anything. I'm going to do what I want to do. People grow up that way. And people go through life that way. And what they're doing is going through life rebellious. They're living a rebellious life. We don't want to live in rebellion. There's no authority for those that are living in rebellion. And we need authority. I said we need authority. So we need to be able to submit ourselves, yield our will over to another person, and come under their authority. Here in Romans chapter 13, in verse 1, it says, let every soul, that's everybody be subject to the governing authorities. Now here it's talking about the authorities here on the earth. But we just read over in Isaiah that there's another government that you and I are a part of, and that government goes on forever and ever. And so if we're not good at being subject to the governing authorities here on the earth, how in the world are we going to be good with the authority of God that you and I are supposed to walk in eternity? See, we're learning now about government. We're learning now about submission and authority. That's something we're taking hold of now. We're growing in it now. So he says, let every soul be subject. Subject, that word subject means to rank or arrange under. To rank or arrange under. And you think of like in the military, a commanding officer. And then he has those under him, right? But it's not just limited to the military. You know, some people, it'd be good, you know, over in Israel, I think they make everybody go into the military. Everybody has to go through the military. I think that's a great idea. People learn submission and authority. And I'm telling you, it's one of the most important things to get a hold of. One of the most important things to get a hold of. If we're going to walk in the authority of God and have victory over the devil in life, we need to understand these things. So he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, and I had my spray-painted black Camaro. I spray-painted it myself. You know, a lot of times, that car had something wrong with it. Maybe a taillight was out. Or, maybe the registration expired, maybe just something like that. And, I'd be driving down the road, and I know that. And I'm just relaxed, the windows are down, enjoying the day. And then I see a person of authority. I see a police officer there, police car. And next thing you know, fear grips you. You start worrying. You start trying to avoid him. You're hoping he doesn't see you. You're hoping he doesn't come up behind you at the next light. You try to avoid him. And sometimes I would do things to avoid being seen by the police officer. But that's not the best way to live in life. I had a suspicious looking car. And then it had problems. And so, I knew it. I knew it. And so as a result of that, it robbed you of confidence when you went down the road near a person of authority. It robbed you of confidence. God doesn't want us to go through life that way. He wants us, we come up to a test or a trial in life, we have confidence. When it comes to even talking about God, we're not afraid of him. We're not looking to run and hide from God like Adam did in the beginning, right? He came out from being submitted to God, and he went and hid from God. When he heard the voice of God, he went and hid. Some people hear about going to church, and they run from it. People run from the idea of getting close to God. A lot of people don't want to get too close to God. Why? Because there's a lot of guilt, and with guilt, there's shame. And so as a result of that, they want to hide. They want to hide. God doesn't want us living that way. He doesn't want us to have hearts that are condemned. He wants us to have hearts that are confident. Confident. So that we're bold in life. We're not afraid because we know we're walking with God. We're right with him. We're submitted to his will. We're submitted to his word. We're submitted to the governing authorities. Civil authorities. That's what it's talking about here. He says you need to submit yourself to the governing authorities because, verse 1, there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So we are to submit to authority, to civil authority, the governing authorities. Of course, we live in a society today that does not teach that. We live in a society today that they teach just the opposite. They encourage rebellion. Rebellion against the police. Rebellion against senators, governors. Rebellion against the president. We got a whole movement going on in our day now, and it's called the resistance. In fact, we were just driving the other day and somebody had a big bumper sticker. Capital letters, bold letters. Resist. And what they're actually doing is they're actually telling the devil, I'm available. If you're looking for someone to attack, if you're looking for someone to use, I'm that person. Because the Bible says, Those who resist, verse 2, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. So you got to think twice before you open your mouth against authority. I'm just preaching the Bible to you. I'm not getting all political. I'm still spiritual. I'm still preaching the Bible to you. You got to watch before you join in on all the slander, all the corrupt communication that is proceeding out of people's mouth. This world is in rebellion. And we live in a society today that is becoming more and more disrespectful towards authority. And people don't understand submission. They don't know much to anything about coming under authority. A lot of folks are rising up against authority, and there's people in authority that are encouraging this rebellion, this rising up and resisting authority, resisting the president of the United States. Not a good thing, according to the Bible. Well, I disagree with some of the things. That don't make a hill of beans of difference. He didn't say subject yourself to the authorities in the government that you agree with. He didn't say anything about agreement. In fact, submission is when you don't agree. You aren't submitting until there's a disagreement. As long as you're in agreement with people, then there's no submitting. You're just going along. You're just going along with them. But it's when things are said and things are done that are contrary to the way you want it to be. It's contrary to your political preferences. And in a lot of cases, that's all it is. It just goes against their political preference. It's that it goes against their morals. It goes against the word of God. It just goes against what they want. And so the answer to that is resist. But the Bible says those who do so, they bring judgment on themselves. God don't have to judge them. They bring judgment on themselves. And again, what is judgment? Judgment is reaping the consequences of your actions or your sins. That's what it is. What is mercy? Mercy, the Bible says, triumphs over judgment. What is mercy? Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. You not reaping that harvest on the sins you committed. Thank God his mercy endures forever. I'm going to stay over on the mercy side of God. I'm going to receive his mercy and walk in his grace. And therefore I'll stay healthy. And the devil will have no place. I like it that way. Don't you? See, but we live in a world today that it's just the opposite. And this is bombarding us all the time. Bombarding us all the time in the media. This is the kind of stuff they're putting in front of people all the time. People are going, watching movies and television programs and all kinds of things. Just filled with rebellion. Filled with dishonor. Disrespect. And so they don't know much about it. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because that's when people set themselves up to reap the consequences of sin. Thank God you and I can receive mercy, be washed in the blood of Jesus by coming under his authority, obeying him, putting our faith, our trust in his word, following him. That will keep us safe. That will protect us in life. That will enable us to live a long and satisfied life. Hallelujah. So you see, there's a lot of folks bringing judgment on themselves right now. That's what they're doing. By what? Attacking. Attacking authority. Attacking the president. Now you see this in our government. You see this going on in our nation. And it goes on in every area of life where you see people rebelling against authority. You got to watch. You don't want to talk against your employer. If they're in authority over you, just because they make decisions you don't like, just because something's not going the way you want it to go, That doesn't give you a right to rise up and lead a rebellion at work. Sow discord. Speak things to the people around you. Get them on board with you to agree with you against the leadership in that place. People do this kind of thing all the time. And what does it do? It gets them in trouble. Then you wonder why people got so many problems. Then you wonder why people are experiencing such trouble in their life. Why Satan has such place in their life. Man, we need to learn to kick the devil out so he has no place in our life. Amen. We're not going to give him any place. How do we do that? Remaining submitted to God, submitted to him. The word resist here means to withstand, to set oneself against, oppose, stand against, withstand. The Bible has quite a bit to say about this. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. The Bible doesn't say resist the government, it says resist the devil. Pray for those in authority. That's what he tells you to do when it comes to government. Pray for your government. Pray for your leaders. Bring it to God. And you'll see here in a little bit, God is more than able to take care of government officials if his people will submit themselves and pray. If they'll submit themselves to him and pray, God's able to even take people away that are no good for this nation. People that would keep us from living a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. So we pray for people. We pray for them. But of course, you have to have faith in God to do that, don't you? I mean, you know, Bible doesn't say picket and protest. It says pray. If my people who are called by name will picket and protest, then somebody will see it and something will happen, maybe. But I want to, rather than that, I'd rather submit myself to God and pray and know God will hear from heaven and heal the land. He'll change things for us. Got to have confidence in that. People don't have confidence in God. That's why they don't go into a private prayer closet somewhere and pray. No, they go out and on the streets and they raise their voice and they go out and try to just stir people up. No, we pray. That's what we do. That's where we're the most effective. That doesn't mean we can't get involved in government, but that's another story. I'm not getting into that right now. Notice the 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 8, it says, now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. Notice that. It calls out these two guys that resisted. They resisted Moses. How many of you know God had raised up Moses? Had given him authority to do some things. And there were those that resisted. Here it names two people that resisted. And notice it says, men of corrupt minds. So that tells us something about folks that are a part of the resistance. They got corrupt minds, right? Resisting the authorities and having a corrupt mind go together. Also, disapproved concerning the faith. Disapproved concerning the faith. Those are the folks that are in the resisting business. The resisting authority business. I don't want to be in their category, do you? You know, this is written to Christians. This is written to Christians. It's a warning to us that we don't fall into this deception. That we don't come under Satan and become disapproved concerning the faith. Have our minds corrupted by this world. That's why you got to watch what you watch. You got to watch what you listen to. And if you do watch some things and listen to some things, make sure you go get washed afterwards, because I can guarantee it's pretty dirty. So just go ahead and take a good bath in the Word of God. Just go ahead and brainwash yourself or wash your brain with the word of God. Cleanse your mind of all that filth. If you don't, your mind can become corrupted. Did you know that about yourself? Humility knows that about itself. Humility knows I got to guard myself. I got to watch what I'm looking at. I got to watch what I'm listening to. I got to watch what I'm a partaker of. Because it could corrupt me. I feel like I'd never be corrupted. Yeah, you're already halfway there. Your pride is deceiving you. Humility recognizes I can be corrupted. And therefore, I need to keep myself washed in the word of God. And I got to guard my heart with all diligence. I got to guard what I'm thinking on with all diligence. So people that are in this resist mode, they have corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Notice chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, and in verse 14, notice what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Can a person talk like that, pray like that? Well, Paul did. God felt fit for it to be written in the word. Isn't that right? He said, that guy did me much harm. Therefore, I'm going to get even with him. You know, they call me Even Stephen. Get even, you know. I'm going to get even with him. You're not going to do that to me and get away with it. I'll get you. I'll get my revenge. No, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. The Lord knows what's going on. Especially if you bring it to his attention. You bring it up to him in prayer. Say, now, Father, now I forgive Alexander. You know, and all he's done for me. But, Lord, you know what he's done. And I just thank you, Lord, that you repay him accordingly. Thank you, Father. Amen. I just let that go. I just give that to you in Jesus' name. That's what he prayed. God knows how to take care of it. God knows how to take care of folks like that. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Verse 15. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. And how many people know the Apostle Paul, his words were like the words of God? Why? Because he was submitted to God's word. See, when you're submitted to God's word, your words become like God's words. And you'll have what you say. Just like God has what he says. Your words become powerful when you're submitted to the word of God. So he's greatly resisted our words. Well, he's greatly resisted God. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Notice that there were folks that were with them, but they didn't stand up for him. Here, this Alexander and some folks, they're slandering him. They're doing things. They're coming against him. They're resisting his words, resisting his ministry, making things hard on him. And nobody's standing up and defending him. And notice what he says. He says, may the Lord not charge this against them. In other words, they could be charged against this. Why? Because the truth is, either you're for me or against me. If you're not for me so that you would defend me, then you are against me. You've joined the rebellion. You see, just being silent is taking sides. See, if you're not defending the word of God, if you're not defending the righteous, then you're taking sides with the wicked. You're taking sides with the unrighteous. There is no neutral. And so he says, may the Lord have mercy on them. May the Lord not charge this against them. Because they could get themselves in a lot of trouble. They can bring judgment on themselves simply by remaining silent and not speaking up and dealing with that rebellion. Well, you know, I just want to be friends with everybody and I just believe I'm a peacemaker and I just want to, no, it doesn't work that way. If you want to be a peacemaker, then you stand up for the Prince of Peace. Then you stand up for righteousness. That's not a peacemaker being quiet and neutral and nice to the rebellious. That's not being a peacemaker, being a nice person to the rebellious. If they're rebellious, you stand up and say, no, that's not right. Now you say another thing like that again, and I won't be around here much longer. Well, I'm not going to listen to that. That's wrong. That's rebellion. That's speaking against God's people. That's speaking against God's authority. That's speaking against God's church. I'm not going to bring judgment on myself, but I just declare that right now. I declare right now I'm not a part of that mess. And you just clean yourself of it, see? And then you can walk away and wipe the dust off your feet. You see, we got to watch about that. See, people think, well, I'm a peacemaker, and I'm just friends with everybody, and I just want to be nice to everybody, and I'm just trying to win people over and trying to win people back and all this kind of stuff. No. You don't win them back by compromising. You don't win them back by being some lukewarm thing. You win them back by standing up for righteousness, standing up for what's right according to the Word of God. So speak up, stand up. Otherwise, you're on the same team. Smiley, you're on the same team with these rebellious, slandering people that come against God's church, God's people, come against authority. And you'll come right under that same judgment. And you'll have no ability to resist the devil. So you don't want that, do you? No, we don't want that. So notice quickly Jude, wrap it up here. Jude, so many good things here. Let's go to verse 8. He says, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. People of authority. They speak evil of them. He says, see, they're dreamers. They defile the flesh. Again, corrupt minds, disapprove concerning the faith. They reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil himself, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring a reviling accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Notice that even Michael, standing there in the presence of the devil himself, he didn't just sit there and start speaking stuff. He didn't get into this condemning the devil, speaking against authority. Because remember, at that time, Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of this world. Remember, he had authority over the earth. Adam had given the authority that God had given Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. And the devil became the god of this world. So Michael, he recognizes Satan's authority in this world. And Satan has a problem with the way God buried Moses. He wants Moses' body for whatever reason. Probably to use it as to worship an idol, make an idol out of it. You know, there's probably so much power still radiating from Moses' body. You know, you think about Elijah's bones. I mean, you know the story about they buried Elisha. And so they were burying another man next to the tomb of Elisha. And when they saw these raiders coming, these band of raiders coming, they didn't have time to bury him. They just threw him in the tomb with Elisha, and when the dead body hit the bones of Elisha, he came back to life. He was resurrected. And that's power. That's life. That's power. That's what Elisha's bones radiated with. How much more Moses? So Moses, you know, the devil wanted Moses' body, you know, to use it. And so they're having this dispute. They're having a disagreement. But Michael, even though who knows what kind of vile things Satan is saying. I mean, he's a vile creature. He's probably cursing God, slandering. I mean, just vile. And Michael, you know, instead of Michael taking out his sword and saying, I'm going to take your horn off right now. I'm going to take your head off right now. Instead of Michael doing that, what does he do? He goes, the Lord rebuke you. I mean, Michael could have just done some damage to the devil right there, but yet he couldn't. He couldn't do it because it would have been rebellious. It would have been wrong. So he was submitted to God. He submitted this whole situation to God. Think about this. This is Michael the archangel. This is over in the spirit world. He submitted himself to God. He submitted this situation to God, and he just said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord repay you. Just like Paul prayed. The Lord repay you. The Lord deal with you. See, some folks get all upset listening to the news. Don't get all upset listening to the news. Just take it to the Lord. Some folks get all upset. They get all entangled in it. Just all entangled in it. That's just fear. You're in fear to what's going on, what you're hearing. And I'm telling you, the news loves to generate fear. Can I get an amen? Or don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The news is in the business of generating fear, especially the Weather Channel. Stay away from that stuff. Are you kidding me? I mean, it could be a breeze. And you got somebody out there. We're out here. It's like, I see them do that kind of thing. See, will you go inside and talk about this? Can you just go inside and talk about this? A little drama king. Dear me. Anyway, just try to generate that stuff, you know. Don't get caught up in that mess. It's all fear-based. Stay over in faith. Stay over in faith. Can you say amen? I mean, Smith Wigglesworth was a man of God. He wouldn't even allow a newspaper in his house. Yeah, he didn't want to be surrounded by that stuff. You got to keep yourself, you got to guard yourself. Keep yourself built up in faith. Can you say amen? So the Lord will repay. See, we pray, and the Lord takes care of these things. And you see, a lot of times people think praying is just, oh, Lord, bless this one and bless that one. Maybe not. Maybe it's, Lord, thank you that you repay according to their deeds. Lord, you see what they're doing, and you said those who resist bring judgment on themselves. I thank you, Father, for bringing your word to pass in their life. Amen. No animosity, no bitterness, no hatred, just the word of God. Just speak in faith. Some of you are wondering about that, but it's true anyhow. You study it out for yourself. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord deal with you. And then, of course, we see that. We can look at King David and see how he handled when authority was coming against him, King Saul, and what he did. And so there's plenty more things to get into. Lord willing, we are going to really dig in to this subject of submission and authority. Praise God. So that's what we're going to be doing in the days ahead, Lord willing. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for the utterance this morning, the things he has shown us.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.